This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. Psalm chapter 20. If you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 20. There are 9 verses, and we'll read them, and then we'll tell you where we're going. Psalm chapter 20. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Now, most people who write commentaries are agreed that Psalm 20 and 21 go together. And they call these the battle songs or psalms. Psalm 20 preceding the battle, and Psalm 21 following the battle. So one psalm anticipates, the other one reflects. And I think I can agree with that direction. These are kingdom psalms. They have to do with the kingdom, but yet there's other things that are involved. And I want to take another approach. I think that even though they're of the kingdom, they have relevance to us, to which we can apply certain things, and that's what we're going to do. So let's start with the heading: to the chief musician, a psalm of David. To the chief musician. Now, in the Psalms, this occurs 55 times. And in every case, the M is capitalized. And to me, that's significant in one way or another. Psalm 22, in verse 22, we read, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. I believe the speaker there is the Messiah. I believe it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And to me, what he's saying there should give meaning to our songs of praise. Great significance to realize it is he who leads the praises of his people. Now, the musician, the chief musician, in the earthly sense, there were people that had held that office. Now, one didn't hold the office forever. You know, he would die and another one would come on and take his place. But it should give meaning to our songs of praise that it is he who leads the praise of his people. And surely, then, our songs of praise should be worthy of him. Now, I don't sing hymns to bore you or anyone else. I was raised where they sang hymns, but they were more like funeral dirges. They were, you know, if you read 4-4, 4-4 they played in 1-4. I mean, it was just boom boom with this massive organ and things like that. So that didn't do anything for me, but I sing hymns to honor the only one worthy of them. Most of these hymn writers, did not, they didn't write, it wasn't all about them, it was all about God. And those hymns reflect that. So I agree with those who, well before my time, and probably most of us in here, that say that there's more that is sung, which is called gospel music or praise music, that he would never lead. Our Lord would never involve himself with any of that. As a matter of fact, I think this is probably a stench to his ears. The things that are going on today, they call themselves the same things. Now, you know, I'm talking back 100, probably well over 100 years when I'm reading some of these things, and I'm thinking, we're nowhere near where it was back then. And yet they saw something that many people today refuse to see. And so we think the Lord, you know, likes all this. That, like Rick Warren, he likes all music. Really? Maybe music that honors him, but I don't think what he sees going on would cover that. But when we approach him with biblical gratitude and reverence, I think he delights to lead whatever it is that we praise him with, because it'll be in accordance with what he has for us. It's not the flesh. And it's easy to make this accommodating to the flesh, because all you hear when you're out of here is music according to the flesh, unless you're listening, unless you have a, you know, an MP3 or something like that. You've got this where you're limited to what you listen to. Anything that you hear going on is in violation. And really, I would be amazed to see the Lord leading in any of that. You know, because it's just not there. So think of Christ, and that here is something in the heading here. Here is something that the Spirit of God moved upon David to write, in addition to the psalm. And he dedicated it to the chief musician. Two phases of that, to the one in the temple and to the Messiah. That he didn't, you know his name at that particular time, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So, verses 1 through 3. The earth is the Lord's. Sorry. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God, of the God of Jacob, defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy sufferings and accept thy burnt offering, sacrifice. Selah. So I look at this and I'm seeing the soul is resting, as it were, upon the Messiah, upon the King, basically, the Lord Jesus, and the work that he has accomplished. And all those offerings, all those burnt sacrifices speak of Christ. So everything is based upon on sacrifice and offerings. And all future blessing for Israel, which we know there will be, and for the nations, rests upon the one offering of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sin. So hold your place here. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Something struck me, and I don't know if Jonathan went there Sunday night or not, but Jonathan came to mind. And he's come to mind all this week, and Linda and I are going back and forth, and she'll say something, and I'll say, that was pretty harsh. And inadvertently, I'll say something, and she'll say, that was harsh too. And we're going back and forth. There's so much that we're saying that is harsh. And you know what? You won't be able to say anything at all, because ultimately, unless you're in a zone that defies living, you're going to say something that's going to be harsh to somebody.
Yep. That's right.
And now, I mean, everything you do, it used to be you could compliment a woman on the way she was dressed. No more. You could, because of the age factor, who was it that came up? Jonathan's mother came right up to me last Sunday night and hugged me. No more can you do that. Or I couldn't go up to her and do that. Because everything is off limits. There is nothing that is sane anymore. And everything is harsh. Everything is offensive. Everything, you know, is just working that way. Yeah, I mean, you talk about a civilization crashing. We're crashing at a warp speed. We really are. So, Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Anybody that believes you can lose your salvation and then regain it, Christ has to come back and make another sacrifice for sin. And he's not going to do that.
Right.
So therefore, you can never be saved.
Yep.
If you believe that. I mean, there's just common sense to some of this.
Right.
And every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. All right, so after Sunday night, Pat asked me a question about something, and then said this. She says, every time you bring up Catholicism, I feel like you're talking just to me. And I said, I don't think I brought up Catholicism, but you're hearing something that you need to hear. I said, because there's also Lutheranism, and Lutheranism is you take the wafer and you put it in your mouth, and it becomes the body of Christ, and you drink the booze, and you think that that becomes the blood. And I said, and it's just as false as what the Catholic Church believes. And he says, I know. I said, when are you going to make the move? She says, I'm going to, but not right now. So keep talking to her and understanding that the Lord is working on her heart. And the light is on, it's just not bright enough for her. And we just have to keep doing that. So everything that happened in the Old Testament ultimately results on that one sacrifice that Christ made. I mean, it all pictures that. And it's because of his offering that God hears those who call on him in faith for salvation, and he saves them. So then we read here in verse 1, the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. So the God of Jacob will undertake for them and for us by application. So I wondered about that. I don't recall hearing the God of Jacob that often. So then I looked and I saw the God of Isaac is only mentioned one time. The God of Abraham is only mentioned two times. Abraham, the father of the faith. The God of Elijah is mentioned one time. But the God of Jacob is 22 times in the book of Psalms. And, you know, you get to thinking about that. Most of us know about Jacob. That he, his name and his character was that he was crooked, that he was a chiseler, that he was a cheat, that he would go out of his way to deceive anybody, like the flesh in each one of us, if the flesh has control. I mean, that's how we would do in different levels. So that perhaps the first thought that comes to mind is why Jacob is so much mentioned is that the God, that God is the God that all sinners need.
Yeah.
You know, it took him, and I'll get to that, Jacob being maybe a much more viable representation of that than some of the other patriarchs as such. And so God wants us to know that he is a God who is interested in poor, needy sinners. And that's, you know, what we should be doing as well. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And in John 3:17, and he didn't come to, you know, to damn the world, but to save the world. And those things are important. And as such, Jacob is identified with that in one way. but also as an individual. The God of Jacob strongly implies that he's the God of the individual. God singled me out. He singled you out. I responded. And you, at a different time, in a different place, every one of you are saved, you responded. Same message, same salvation, but it was individual. My salvation and Linda's salvation didn't have any bearing on Chris, Michael, or Karen. It didn't happen by rote. Each one of them had to be individual. And so that's important. And I can look toward him and say, you are my God, I belong to you. And I think Jacob has something to do with that. And lastly, I think Jacob is mentioned as the God of, because he's also the God of patience. Look how long-suffering God was with Jacob. I mean, he could have had the blessing. He could have had the birthright. All of this could have been different, legally. But no, he had to cheat it his way to get it. And God judged him. And that crooked man thought that he could wrestle with God and win. And of course he didn't. And God educated him and taught him through discipline up to just about the last. And Jacob became a quiet, patient, godly worshiper. Jonathan didn't cut in Sunday night. He should have. Do you remember the phone going off? Chris said it was rap music. I didn't pick up on any of that, but I thought Jonathan didn't miss a beat. He really did well. Because that can really get under your skin. Hebrews chapter 11. This is speaking about Jacob. The end of his, later on, by faith, verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. So at the end of his life, he became a godly worshiper. Took a long time. And amazingly, the Lord has taken long times with many people, sometimes shorter, some people longer. But what patience the Lord has with us. And I wonder why oftentimes we set the timetable and don't allow God to do that. That we say, no, you've got to be at this place now because I say so. Not because, you know, God has been, they are listening to what God has been saying and growing, but that, no, you just need, and how do we know that God isn't dealing with somebody and it's just taking some time? And they're just not where we are, but we think they should be where we are, and maybe they should, but they're not. And then the end of verse 3, Selah. Stop and consider what was just said. In verses 4 through 6, we see the blessing that comes to the people of God in answer to prayer. Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. So here again, we're dealing with time periods that are in and out, in and out. And so the blessings that come to the people of God are an answer to the prayer of verses 1 through 3. Now, in Psalms, let's go ahead to chapter 37. In understanding what was just written, Psalm 4 becomes very important. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You see how two things go together? The people today, you know, the prosperity people, the people that are of that ilk, think that God is just giving you a blank checkbook. You just write anything you want in there, and he is obligated to give it to you. No bearing on your delighting yourself in the Lord, and obviously in His Word. If you remember in chapter 15 of John, which has to do with the vine and the branches, if ye abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask what you will. Can you imagine the word abiding in you? Are you going to ask something contrary to his will? Probably not. And so these things go hand in hand. It all has to do with regard to with prayer. So the soul that is occupied with Christ and the soul occupied with his work and now prayer all plays together. Somebody asked, I forget who the preacher was, but he was preaching on this. And so the man said, why don't you ask for $1 million? And so he gave this illustration. He said George Mueller in Bristol, England, was a great man of prayer and faith. And he asked the Lord for £1 million at one particular time. And God gave it to him during the course of his 50-year ministry when running those orphanages. He had one, then I think he had five. Well, he didn't give it to him all at once. He didn't need it all at once. But he kept the same attitude spiritually, kept depending on the Lord, trusting that the Lord was going to answer his prayers. And the Lord did, but over a long period of time, so that they always had what they needed. Not everything came through the money. It came through the Lord working on other people, and without him making the need known, and then suddenly they would show up and give the very thing that he needed. So, very important, trusting the Lord. In verses 5 and 6, here back in Psalm 20, has to do with the Messiah. Now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. And so what generally wasn't known to them or that they didn't grasp is that the Messiah had to suffer, he had to die, and of course he would raise again. And these words are looking backwards now. And so he says, I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. Yes, he raised him from the dead. It is the song of victory. We talk about victory in Jesus, the song we sing. This is where the word, you know, it comes from. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Okay, verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, some trust in themselves, some trust in organizations, some trust in ministries, denominations, some trust in relatives. Put anything down there. It's the Lord we have to trust in. That's it. You can't trust in other things. I mean, we want to be dependable people. We want to be reliable people. We want to be consistent people. That's all important. But ultimately, the bottom line is you have to trust the Lord. That has to be as much of an absolute as possible while we live in the flesh but are dwelt with the Holy Spirit. And if we're allowing the Lord to let the Holy Spirit have his way, we will trust him in these things, in all things. All right, and it closes with Christ as in view as King. They're brought to see. Now, look what happens to those that don't. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. They, the ones that believe in chariots and horses and all these other things, are brought down and fallen. But we are risen and stand upright. Listen, you and I are in a life situation. where in the end we win. And in the end, they lose. And sometimes it may take that to see it. I'm not God. I don't live that way. I mean, I have great difficulty reconciling that you will allow the wrong to continue until, you know, we get to be with you and they don't. But there again, he's God, I'm not. And I have to be more Christ-like in that as well. So in verse 9, saith the Lord, let the king hear us when we call. So now we've gone in, out, around, back, down, and we're in the kingdom. He hears us now, and he's going to hear us in the kingdom, and he's going to hear the Jews in the kingdom. And the more you read in Scripture, the more you see how Israel is off to the side today, but they're going to be restored, and this whole business that goes on, that's an abomination that God has done with them, and the anti-Jewish sentiment today, one day it's going to come against all these people, and the Jew is going to be in his rightful place, and the Lord is king, and we're going to be there serving as well. Great little psalm. A lot of different things go on. I didn't get into the battle because, you know, we do so much fighting. I thought this was a good night not to fight. So, but the battle's there. And 20 talks about the battle to come. 21 talks about the battle that happened. So if you read it that way, it'll make a lot more sense. Okay, let's pray. Father, we come before thee so grateful that we have your word. So grateful that you are our Savior through Christ, and that you daily loadeth us with benefits. If we would, as the song says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, we would take a lot of time throughout each day seeing how much we have been given from you, and of course to use in this life, and in appreciation for what you've done to give back to you. Our time, our talent, tangible things. We're just grateful to be your children. We want other people to be your children. And I would ask that you empower all of us with words that commonly we don't have, and the Holy Spirit does, and that he would use us to take down these strongholds, these barriers, these excuses, to reach people with the truth so that they can have what we have, and that is you. We are nothing. You are everything. So speak to our hearts as we go to our places tonight. And give us a good rest of the week. Pray for a good services on Sunday. And you'll be with all these requests. It will be diligent to keep them before you. And I pray that we'll have opportunities before we ever get home tonight to use what we have for you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area he is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust him as your personal Savior, he will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in his finished work to pay for the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.